I'm very happy now to welcome Howard Bryan. He is a historian and journalist. He's author of the new book, Santa Fe Tales and More, which was just released by Clear Light Publishers. And he will be at the St. Francis Auditorium this Saturday, March 27th at 2 o'clock for his 90th birthday bash. He'll be speaking and signing copies of his new book. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So this is a wonderful, funny, interesting book full of stories of Santa Fe, and it's the kind of thing you see in movies about the Wild West, gambling and gunfights and stagecoaches and bank robberies. How did you find all these stories?
Well, most of these stories I found in old Santa Fe newspapers. Quite some time ago, I used to go up to the history library there at the Palace of Governors, and I went through all the issues of the Santa Fe New Mexican and Santa Fe Gazette and picked out all the most interesting stories that most general history sort of neglect, you know, some of the more dramatic things that happened in Santa Fe and some of the colorful figures, and so I managed to round some of those up and to tell some of the stories of things that happened in Santa Fe, as most of them taken from the old newspaper files.
Were you ever able to find multiple versions of the stories in different sources?
Not too much. Most towns, including Santa Fe, they only had one newspaper at a time, so that they didn't have much competition, you know. And you could only, sometimes in politics there's one, but most of the early newspapers are either solidly Democrat or solidly Republican, you know, and so sometimes you only get one side of a story. But since most towns only had one newspaper at a time, you just had to take it from that. And one interesting thing, I know people have told me sometimes a newspaper is not always reliable, but then if a newspaper made a mistake, they often within a few days would correct that mistake, which you don't find in books. You know, once a book comes out and you make a mistake, it's there. But in a newspaper, you make a mistake, you can correct it a few days later.
One of the things that's quite amazing was that, I mean, I guess it's not surprising, but New Mexico was a really rough place, and perfectly nice people were suddenly fighting duels and killing each other. You have a whole chapter about duels.
Oh, yes. That's the interesting thing about Santa Fe. The other books I've written about Las Vegas, New Mexico, and so forth, all these homicides and murders and everything were all committed by notorious outlaws and so forth, but in Santa Fe, they all involved rather prominent citizens.
Who were jabbing knives into each other. Even the Republicans and the Democrats were fighting. You write about a riot in 1871 in Mesilla, tell us about that.
That is one of the most unusual, interesting stories in New Mexico history, I think. They talk about big gun battles, and, you know, you see them in the Western movies and so forth. But here in New Mexico, one of the biggest gun battles ever fought was fought on the Mesilla Plaza in 1871, just between Republicans and Democrats. The reason was they each had rallies one Sunday afternoon at different places around the plaza, and then at the same time, both the Republicans and the Democrats decided to hold processions around the plaza. And they went around the plaza in opposite directions. When they met head-on, neither side would give way to the other, and their argument started, and then a gunshot was fired. And the first thing you know, they were all shooting at each other, and it lasted for a couple hours, and they said, I think they estimated that 8 or 9 people were killed and 40 or 50 wounded in that one battle, just Republicans and Democrats shooting at each other.
I must say, it makes New Mexico today look like a very tame and civilized place.
Oh, yes, it is. A lot of uncivilized things that happened in New Mexico in the early days, I found out from going through these old newspapers and so forth. And also talking to old-timers, you know, I spent a long time talking to old pioneers who remembered those days. And to tell me fascinating stories about the things that used to happen in New Mexico, but nothing really could. I don't think any other place in the United States had a huge gun battle between Republicans and Democrats, but in Mexico, you know, particularly in those days, they took politics very seriously, you know.
Now, you, as a journalist, were talking, as you said, to many old-timers, including a man who was born in 1847. You interviewed him in the mid-20th century. It's amazing to hear these stories that go back to the 19th century. What were some of the most memorable of those interviews that you did?
Oh, I did so many. Some of the old-timers, particularly some of the old Hispanic old-timers that that lived here all their life, and the churches that burned down, and they told me they didn't know how old they were. And so I'd start with them. I'd say, well, now what's the first thing you remember exciting? And they'd tell me, like one man, I said, well, what's the first thing you remember? And he said, well, he lived down south of Socorro, and he remembered when his mother hit him under the bed because these Texas soldiers were marching up the Rio Grande and had a battle up north of our place. I said, how old are you then? He said, 5. Well, then I knew about how old he was because I knew he was talking about the Battle of Alberti in 1862. So if he was 5 in 1862, I could tell him how old he was. Some of them went way back. Most of the ones I interviewed were talking about things that happened back in the late 1800s, you know, and they lived through a lot. I've talked to people. I talked to one old man down in Las Lunas. He was a friend of Billy the Kid. Saw him dead. And I told him that there's a man saying at that time he was Billy the Kid. He just laughed. And he said, no. He said, I knew Billy the Kid. I saw him dead. There's no way he could be walking around today.
Wow. You have an interesting story in the book. We're talking to Howard Bryan about the book Santa Fe Tales and More, about the governor who was assigned to New Mexico Territory when Billy the Kid was doing his thing, and he came from the Midwest, and wasn't sure he even wanted to be in New Mexico, and got thrown into this whole drama.
Yeah, from Indiana, and I noticed that at that time the governor's salary was $2,400 a year.
Yeah.
My one thing I found of that was Governor Lew Wallace. Back in 1880. And one of the things I put in there, I don't think it's ever been published before, I happened to notice in an old Albuquerque paper one time, it was the time when he finally left Santa Fe and he went back to Indiana, and so he shipped a bunch of souvenirs from Albuquerque by rail freight back to Indiana. It included a live burro. And he got back to Indiana, and there was people that back there that wasn't sure what a burro was, and the freight office in Albuquerque got a message back from Indiana that said, Wallace shipment arrived, minus one bureau, plus one jackass. Please surprise.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Now, everyone's heard of Archbishop Lamy because of the book Death Comes for the Archbishop, but probably very few people know about his nephew, John. Tell us that story.
Yes, I don't know why that story's been neglected so much. But, he had a nephew whose name was also J.B. Lamy from France. Married this woman in Santa Fe, very educated socialite Hispanic woman. And after a while, the Archbishop brought another Frenchman over to help work on a cathedral, a fellow named Francis Millay. And Millay and John Lamy, being both friends, they got to be good friends, and they spent a lot of time with each other. But then, apparently, Lamy's wife started taking up with the new Frenchman, who was more outgoing and more fun, I guess, than her husband. And she finally left her husband and filed divorce, and her husband, an Archbishop's nephew, shot and killed him in the doorway of what is now La Fonda Hotel, the old Exchange Hotel, was shot and killed him. Got off on temporary insanity.
So not only did he get off on temporary insanity, so he He killed the suitor of his wife, who seemed like he was a lot more compatible than he was with his wife, got off on temporary insanity, and then the two of them reconciled and lived happily ever after.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that until one day I put that story in the newspaper years ago, and one day I met a woman here who grew up in Santa Fe. She said she was interested in that article because she remembered Mr. and Mrs. Lamy. And I think she said they lived where the La Fonda parking garage is now. And it said everybody knew him, but nobody knew anything about the fact that he had killed her. The guy was stealing his wife years before. And, so that's how I knew. And then I found both their obituaries. They both died, and they were both married together. So when I knew that they apparently had reconciled and gone back together after that, even though when she first heard that her boyfriend had been killed, she drank poison, but she survived.
Right. What a great story. One thing that's really striking reading through your book, Santa Fe Tales and More, is that Santa Fe has always been a melting pot. Even in the 19th century, people were coming here from all over the place. What brought them to Santa Fe?
I think the Santa Fe Trail, mostly. You know, the Santa Fe Trail was finally opened in about 1821, and people started coming down because Santa Fe then it didn't have much commerce with the outside world because, you know, Mexico was a long ways away, farther away from Missouri, so the people back east of Missouri and so forth, they start bringing trade goods down to sell them in Santa Fe and trade them for other things that Santa Fe people had. And a lot of them liked it and stayed in Santa Fe and built stores there and so forth. And so Santa Fe, within a short time after 1846, particularly after the American occupation, Santa Fe became quite a cosmopolitan city with quite a few people from not only United States, but from over Europe and so place too. And I think that's one reason you didn't have too much the outlaws. Notorious outlaws sort of avoided Santa Fe in those days because it was an up-and-coming city. It just wasn't just a little railroad town where they could take over, you know. So that's, I think mostly the Santa Fe Trail was what really opened Santa Fe up to the newcomers and so forth.
What was Santa Fe's role during the Civil War?
Well, Santa Fe and Civil War, you know, I have a chapter in the book on them about these Confederate Army from Texas. They call it the Texas Brigade. They came up to Rio Grande and they occupied Albuquerque and then they went up and some occupied Santa Fe for a while. And some of them stayed in the palace of the governors and so forth. They didn't try to govern anything, but they stayed in the palace of the governors because the governor and his staff had fled up the trail to Las Vegas when Texans were here. They weren't here too long because they were going to go on up to Colorado and got up there around Glorieta someplace and they met the Union forces from Colorado and Fort Union and so forth. They had these two battles there around in Apache Pass and Glorieta up there and on their all the Confederate wagon trains were burned there at the Cañoncito. So they left without any supplies at all. I mean, all their supplies were gone and nothing to do but retreat back to Texas. And they retreated back to Santa Fe and some of them were so sick they couldn't go on and they stayed in Santa Fe. But people there took them. The rest of them retreated all back to Texas. So Santa Fe, just for a little while, was occupied by Confederate troops from Texas there.
Howard Brian is a historian and a journalist. He's author of the new book, Santa Fe Tales and More, which was just released by Clear Light Publishers. And it's full of, in addition to these great stories, wonderful illustrations and photographs and etchings and drawings of all kinds from the time about these stories. And Howard Brian will be at the St. Francis Auditorium on Saturday, March 27th at 2:00 for his 90th birthday bash. There will be cake and all sorts of good things, and Howard will be speaking and signing copies. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Thanks to Brian and Cabby for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.